Okay, well, we're kind of gearing, winding up here the preparations a little bit on Pittsburgh. Working through some specific situations and some single play type situations here as we get to the end of the week, and try to pull everything back together. But again, I think the more you look at the Steelers, the more impressive they are. Whole body of work, very good in the kicking game. Really explosive on offense and. And solid on defense with a lot of young players that I'm sure they're counting on for big years, and wouldn't surprise me if they deliver. So it's a pretty talented group. So good fundamental team. They don't make many mistakes. Know we're going to have to play well, and that's what we expect to do. So that's what we're up for today.
You guys claimed Thornton, the defensive tackle from the Packers, on waivers. What traits drew you to him to
want to
take a closer look at?
I think he's a talented guy. We'll put him in the mix with what we have there and see how it goes.
Fair to assume that a lot of that is when you were scouting someone like Jamie, you get some.
Not really. Yeah, no. Jamie was pretty much Jamie.
How about the preseason opener against Green Bay? You see him for, 21 plays or so. It's like, help.
Yeah. A little bit, yeah. I mean, I think a little bit. You see him against players that you're familiar with. And, but, he's got a decent, body of work through preseason last year. So, we'll see how it goes. Player we want to work with, we'll just see how he's able to fit in with what we ask him to do, how he performs, and let's go from there.
When you have a lot of turnover at a position, say running back, how much do you have to adjust, or how many adjustments does that kind of require, given the turnover?
There's turnover at every position on our roster, so just like there is with every team in the league, every team's got that. Maybe not every position, but some positions. So, you start every year starts all over again for everybody. You've got to reestablish your timing, execution, your own level of performance, and tie it in with your teammates. So, backs running behind blockers and so forth, pass protection, all those things. It all has to be reestablished every year, even if it's with the guys who did it before. But usually that's not the case. Usually there's some movement somewhere. So it's not anything that's really out of the ordinary. It's part of training camp, part of building your team from the beginning of the season to getting ready for regular season games.
You mentioned defensively for the Steelers, they have a lot of younger players that they might need to contribute a bunch, but one of their older guys is James Harrison, who you've seen a lot over the years. I'm just wondering what you've seen from his game as you guys have.
Yeah, heard. Really good. Really good. Very similar to how it's always looked over there. Very explosive, powerful guy, good pass rusher, good edge setter, good tackler, instinctive player, tough physical, good football player. I mean, looks pretty much the same as he has in the past. I know there's an age difference, but he's kind of defying that. He looks good.
What kind of leader has Ryan Wendell become on the offensive line, Bill?
Yeah, Ryan's really done a good job for us. This is a situation for guys like him, Dane Fletcher, LaFell, where they haven't been able to do a lot on the field until recently for Wendy. But they've done a lot off the field for us in terms of helping younger guys, helping, I don't want to say help coach, but, being there to help work with guys during practice as well as, in the meetings and extra time. So Wendy's been great. He's been great. He's worked hard at what he has to do. He's doing what he needs to do on a personal level, but he's also been very helpful to the team, particularly some of our younger interior line players. So it's been good. But then again, it's been really noticeable when he's been out there the last few days that, the level of experience that he has is, it's very, just it jumps out at you. You can't help but, see the command that he has at that position on the line of scrimmage.
What about
about his versatility? I mean, obviously you look for that in any position, but especially him on the offensive line has been critical over the last couple of years.
It has. So, yeah, that's a plus. Yeah, that's definitely a plus. So, and he's worked at all three spots as we've gone out there, you know, the last, whatever it is, week and a half or however long he's been out there. So, again, we'll just see how all that goes. But you're right, he has done multiple things for us and helped us on kickoff return, center both guards. So he's working at different spots, and we'll just see how he does, and also maybe it's a where we need him situation.
Coach, with Levi out, would you expect that they would do more to get Antonio Brown involved? Or?
I don't know how they could do much more. It seems like a lot of the pass plays are, I don't say designed for him, but he's a key part of all of them. They move him around. They put him in different spots. They use different pattern combinations to, give him an opportunity to either get open or to somehow keep you from being able to double cover him. Could they get him the ball more? I mean, I guess they could. They get it to him a lot, and he's definitely a go-to guy for him in the passing game, both in terms of just making plays and Roethlisberger going to him, but in terms of scheme and plays that are kind of, let's say, designed to, if not get him the ball, at least get him a look, and then, you know, if the defense takes him away, go somewhere else, but at least get him a look at it.
I know you mentioned they brought in a lot of new faces, younger faces on the defensive side of the ball. How has the move from Dick LeBeau to Butler maybe manifested itself on what they do on defense? Is there any sort of overall philosophical change?
I think you see some of, Mike's philosophy from, what he did when he was at Minnesota, what I remember him doing, he was defensive coordinator there. They've tied a lot of that together, and I just say that they're very multiple on defense. They're 4-3, they're 3-4, they're zone, they're man, they're blitz zone. They're overload blitz zone. So they still do a lot of things they did last year, but they've also added some other complementary things this year from a different front and a little bit coverage-wise that they didn't really play the two Tampa last year with Dick. Dick had kind of his own version of cover two. So maybe, a little more zone, but it's they're multiple. I'd say that's the biggest thing. You can't come out of the huddle and say, okay, this is what it's going to be, or it's going to be one of these two things. There's a lot more than that they can do.
Bill, I'm curious your thoughts on Kenbrell Tompkins coming back to the practice squad.
I think he's a quality practice squad player. I mean, he was a roster player for us. He was a roster player for Oakland. So to have that level of player on our roster but not on our roster, I think is, it's good. I mean, it gives us, a lot of a quality depth player there that, we had that same player basically on our team, but as a roster spot. So, I think he's, we'll see how long it takes, but I think, there shouldn't be too long before from a relearning standpoint. I mean, he's a good learner, but, just to get back into what we're doing, all that, he ought to be able to compete for playing time. Based on where he was when he was here before, and it looks like he's still, based on a short look, yesterday, but looks like he still has, good skills to contribute. He's got the experience of playing in the slot, which he did more at Oakland than he did here, so he's, kind of developed some versatility. So, we'll see where it goes, but, I think that was, we're happy to have him and a player his caliber in that position.
So how could Gronk and Scott Chandler complement each other when they're both on the field?
We'll see. We haven't seen that yet this year, so we'll see how each team probably will have its own way or game plan or whatever of how to deal with whatever personnel we have out there. There are different combinations of people that we can have, so you know, it's hard to talk about just one or two players. Who are the other three guys, and how are they aligned formationally? So I don't know. You know, we'll try to create situations that stress the defense, and if they overplay one thing and underplay something else, then hopefully we'll be going to that softer point. I mean, that's pretty much what we're trying to do anyway, but that's, you know, whoever the players are out there, that's kind of the basic philosophy.
Ever had two bigger tight ends on a roster at the same time?
You know, at the Giants, we had two. You know, we had Bavaro, Moat, we had Bavaro, Howard Cross. You know, in Cleveland, we had Bavaro and Hartley. So, man, they're tall. Yeah.
Are you pleased with what Chandler and Gronk were able to do at camp?
I think they both had good, you know, the whole preseason process from the spring to practices. You know, Scott hasn't had a lot of playing time in preseason. Rob hasn't had any. But based on the opportunities they've had to play together in practice against our defense or against, you know, carded looks and so forth, you know, I think they both are ready to go. You know, it's time to start playing, so we'll see what happens. But I think they're as ready as they're going to be.
Preparations for Rob any different given that he hasn't played the preseason for the opener?
Rob's worked really hard. So I think he's pushed himself in practice. I think we pushed him. Coach Dable's pushed him hard. I think he'll be ready to go.
Speaking of pushing it really hard, Ben yesterday in his conference call told us that the motors on your defensive line are nonstop. I guess my question for you is, how important is that aspect when you're putting together a defensive line? Is it important to have guys with constant motors, high motors going?
You hope your team's like that. I mean, it sounds like Ben buttering us up pretty good. You know, half these guys have never played against him, so. But that's very complimentary of Ben to say that. We'll see. I mean, look, it's the opening game of the year. It's Thursday night. I mean, I'd like to think everybody's motor will be running, but maybe not. We'll see.
How much of a challenge does he present in the sense of he extends plays because of his ability, his physical size? How much of that, you know, with the D-line being able to motor, guys keeping up and staying with a play?
Huge. I mean, it's as good as anybody. There's other players that are maybe faster than he is, but he's very hard to tackle, very difficult to get down. On top of that, he's got great vision, very good accuracy down the field. Again, he doesn't have to step into the throw or have a clean pocket. He can make throws, guys hanging all over him, falling down. So he's as good as anybody we play at that. Again, I'm not saying he's going to, you know, scramble and run for 40 yards, but he can stay on his feet. He can extend plays. He can make throws with guys all over him. He has good vision, too. He doesn't. You know, his guy's hanging all over him. His eyes stay downfield. He looks at the pattern in the coverage and can find people. Whereas, you know, a lot of quarterbacks, when they're getting tackled or they're getting hit, you know, their eye level drops or they look at the guy who's after him. Ben has the ability to really shrug those guys off, still look downfield, you know, and get the ball accurately downfield. I mean, he's, you know, was over 40% last year and throws over 20 yards. I mean, that's, you know, it's pretty good. Some quarterbacks have a little trouble over that, you know, with the under 10 yards. I mean, this guy's really, you know, he makes a lot of good throws. So it'd be a huge challenge for us. I mean, there won't be anybody will be a bigger challenge than him in terms of the total package that he presents on extended plays.
So going back to Antonio Brown, he's not obviously one of those physically imposing receivers like a Calvin Johnson or a Dez Bryant. So how much of his ability to get open is based on, I guess, that innate ability to find holes in the defense or set guys up that sort of you can't necessarily quantify?
Well, he's got really good quickness. So he's got the ability to get separation even when guys are close to him. He has, you know, one step or two step quickness to, you know, to get away. He's got really good hands, so he doesn't need a lot of separation. He can extend and, you know, catch the ball away from his body. And he's a good technique route runner, so he does a good job of making routes look the same, but they're different, you know, making the inside route and the outside look the same, or the over and the, you know, the corner route look the same, things like that. You know, his releases are good. He does a good job at the line of scrimmage of getting into his route and attacking the defense quickly. So, and he's very good after the catch. So you got to play the deep ball. He's a good intermediate route runner. And if you back off and give him room, then, you know, he can catch and break a tackle and, you know, turn a catch and run play into a long play. So, you know, he's a very hard player to defend. They put him in a lot of different spots, so he's versatile. I mean, he's obviously a very, you know, sharp guy and an instinctive guy because, you know, he can handle a lot of that wherever they put him, running different routes, run them off linebackers, run them off corners, run them off safeties, run them against split safety coverage, run them against post safety coverage, man zone. I mean, this guy is, you know, a smart player. He's a good player at all three levels of the defense. And very hard to tackle after he gets the ball in his hands. So, you know, that's a problem, too. I mean, this is not the kind of guy you want to just back off and, you know, let him throw it to him and come up and make the tackle, because that'll be a challenge. But on the other hand, you don't want to, you know, be up there and let him get over the top of the defense either. So he's a huge problem. And on top of that, he's got a quarterback that can get him the ball in any of those situations very accurately. So that's, you know, some receivers are open, but, you know, if they don't get the ball, this guy's open, and they get him the ball, so.
Sorry. A couple of final questions. Often about players having good instincts and playing with good feel. I'm just wondering if that works at all with coaches, if or how often maybe they'll make a decision based on instinct or feel, and there's not necessarily maybe a, you know, an equation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's hard to, you know, to quantify really, but it's just something that you feel. I mean, I've called plays, you know, for a significant part of my career, and there's times where you just get a feeling that maybe it goes against the tendency, or, you know, there's something that you just can kind of instinctively feel like is going to happen, and, you know, you do something to try to take advantage of it, or, you know, the right time to call a double pass, or the right time to run a blitz, or the right time. Or you just anticipate what they're going to do. You just anticipate what the other play caller is going to do, and you happen to, you know, guess right. So, and look, you know, we all guess wrong plenty of times too. I'm not saying that, but yeah, there's definitely some of that where you just kind of get a feel for the way the game's going or a particular situation as it unfolds, and you know make that call. You know, just based on what you feel at that time, not what was the tendency, what's the, you know, what do they do in this situation in a bunch of other games. You just feel like at this point in time, you know, here's where you're going to put your chips, and you think they're going to blitz you, and you call a play that's, you know, a good blitz beater play, or, you know, you think they're going to, whatever, fake it and pull out of it and not going to do it. You know, it's, so there's, you know, you got to be able to handle whatever they do, but yeah, there's definitely an element to that. You know, I think, and the same thing with kicking game too. So, you know, I think that Josh and Matt, you know, do a great job of that. You know, they call the majority of the plays, and they do a great job of anticipating what could happen in certain situations. You have to be ready for 2, 3, 4 different things, whatever it happens to be. But then every once in a while, you just get that feeling that, you know, this is the time. This is when we want to do it, and you know, they're right quite a bit.
Final question. Seems to get his hand on the ball a lot in coverage. Is there a special trait cornerback needs for that kind of ball skills?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of you know, physical skills, speed, quickness, instincts, just awareness or instincts, however you want to call it, and then there's ball skills. So they're all important. Being able to run fast or move quickly, you know, in a short area, is certainly paramount to getting to the ball. You know, sometimes instinctively you can kind of get a jump on the play just because of the combination of the route or the way the quarterback's looking or the way the receiver maybe is, you know, giving away the route, you know, the way he runs it, you're able to anticipate it. But then there's the final part of it, which, of course, is the ball skills and playing the ball. And there are a lot of times defenders are close to the receiver, they're close to the ball, and the receiver ends up with it. And they either, you know, misjudge it or aren't able to get to the reception area with their hand in order to break it up. They reach for it but miss it, or, you know, whatever. So that's, you know, that's a key component too. So being close to the receiver is good, but being able to have the ball skills, the timing to reach and touch the ball at the right time in order to break it up is important. And then obviously the final thing, the fifth thing, would be hands in terms of intercepting the ball. You know, it's almost another skill. You know, breaking up passes is one thing, actually intercepting them is another. And so a lot of guys might have good, or some players might have good ball skills, but they don't have good hands. Some players might have good hands, but not necessarily have great ball skills. Of course, the great ones have speed, quickness, you know, anticipation and awareness, ball skills, and hands. So that's, you know, but at each level, you know, the more of those, the better. Some guys get by on, you know, one or two or maybe three of them. Some guys don't, and then the good ones have more, and the ones that are not as good have less. Then, you know, I think depending on what kind of coverage you're playing, then some of those things are more important than others. So, and that's just in terms of pass defense. I'm not talking about tackling now, which that's a whole other issue. But, you know, man coverage, zone coverage, you know, press man, off man. I mean, you know, so there's a variety of skills involved depending on the techniques and the coverages that you're playing, which is why you have a lot of different players that have different skills that can still be productive. It depends on what scheme they're in and how their skills fit that scheme. So, and that's a component of it too. Say, you know, sometimes it's challenging when a player doesn't have, you know, all the skills, which, you know, there's not a whole lot of them that have that at an elite level. And you watch a player do one thing and you're trying to project, you know, his skills to a different scheme, you know, to a different way of playing. So that's, you know, until you actually see him do it, sometimes it's hard to, you know, be accurate on that. Okay. All right. Yep. Thank you.